views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. This is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KLCK FM, 98.9 Digital HD3 Seattle.
Been there, done that? It's time for a change.
Hi, I'm Rob Spears.
And I'm Brenda Michaels, and we're the hosts of Conscious Talk, radio that makes a difference.
If you're ready to engage life, expand consciousness, and ride the wave rather than be bowled over by the incredible changes that are upon us, then join us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. on KKNW 1150 a.m. or 98.9 HD3 or ConsciousTalk.net, where together we'll forge the new human being.
Hi, this is Julie Forbes. Join me on Wednesday afternoons from 2 to 3 p.m. for the Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. Listen to discussions on dog-related topics and call in to voice your opinion or ask my opinion about your dog. We will talk about everything from dog behavior to pet food to dog training programs in prisons. The Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. Tune in Wednesdays from 2 to 3 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150.
Call karma specialist and metaphysical mother Robin Alexis for your free on-air readings Wednesdays at 12 noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Psychic medium Robin Alexis helps countless people to live fuller and more conscious lives on Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis. Call Wednesdays for your free on-air readings and hear rebroadcasts of Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis Thursdays at 8 p.m. And check out Robin's Soul Spa at robinalexis.com.
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up. Get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the third hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the home page. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again. That will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. All right, now I can tell you officially, as I turn around and look out the window, it has turned into a spectacularly gorgeous sunny day here, and the city of Seattle is still, in fact, there.
We can visually confirm that.
We can visually confirm that, and I can actually tell you officially that the Olympic Mountains are still there as well. We haven't seen those for weeks. We weren't sure they were there, but they are still there.
Thought I might see a little bit of snow on the tops of those mountains.
And, I see some.
A little bit. I thought I'd see more.
Well, there's more. I'll tell you, there's more on the Cascades.
True.
Up Stevens Pass, because I see those in my neighborhood, and there's more there.
Yeah, they've had snow last couple of days, I think.
Yeah. And there was actually, when I pulled up the Doppler radar this morning before I left, it was actually snowing in the Cascades. So that was the first time I'd seen snow, really real snow, on the Doppler. So there you go. All right. Now, there are several ways for you to be in touch with us here on Animal World. And for the caller that called, and Robin, I'll let you know, Robin Alexis is here, by the way, that the caller wanted a private reading with you, Robin. But,
oh, good. I can give the number.
I think she wanted an on-air private reading with you. And Mike explained that we don't really do that on Robin and Martha Sundays unless we tell you that we're doing that, or unless we run out of stuff to talk about. And then we might do that. But We'll let you know if we run out of stuff to talk about and we're going to do any private readings. But the best time to do an on-air private reading with Robin, of course, is to call Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis. And that is live at 12 noon on Wednesdays every week right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You will hear the recorded or previous version, last week's version of Mystic Radio will air at 2 p.m. this afternoon, but that's a recorded version. And then if folks want a private reading from you, really private, off the air, especially if they want to take care of this hot deal you got going for membership in the Soul Spa and one of these Golden Healer Lemurian crystals that are so cool. I have two. And I've ordered two more. That just lets you know how cool they are. Anyway, Robin, why don't you tell everybody about that?
Yes, Bob is standing by right now to take your calls. The number to call is 310-691-6357. That's 310-691-6357. And we are running a special for a one-on-one phone reading with me, a one-year membership to the Soul Spa. And when you go for that particular special, you will receive a beautiful golden Lemurian healer crystal. And these are very special crystals that I have blessed here at Mount Shasta. They've been soaking up powerful energy in the waters of the sacred Panther Meadows on Mount Shasta, the McLeod River, and the headwaters of the Sacramento River. And water gushing from these headwaters comes from the snowpack and rainfall that fell on Mount Shasta about 8,200 feet elevation. And age dating shows that the spring water emerging from that Sacramento headwater, it took about 50 years for it to move from the sky through the earth and all the cleansing and purification and then back out again to this particular location where we take these crystals. So some of the purest water in the country is here in Mount Shasta, and we do bless these crystals here. And in addition to that, I do give each one of them a Reiki attunement so that when you receive them, they're very, very powerful for you to be using.
And you get a free one with this special deal.
Yes.
Cool. Cool. Very cool. Give out the phone number one more time because we don't want Bob to just sit there and do nothing.
Okay. 310-691-6357.
All right. Now, if you want to be in touch with us while we're on the air, you can give a call. But remember, we have no call screener today, so Mike has to answer the phone. He'll put you on hold. You'll hear the radio show playing until he can get in the other room to speak with you. And if you have a question or comment about what we're actually addressing today on the show or an animal general issue you want us to tune into, those would be the reasons to call. 425-373-5527. Or 888-298-5569. And you can always send us email while we're live on the air to animalworldlive@hotmail.com. You can be in touch with us when we're off the air by going to the Animal World website, which is www.marthanorwalk.com. Links to all of our advertisers and sponsors on the home page. There's a link to the audio archives to hear the past shows. Click on current events for the current event stuff, shelter stuff for the shelter stuff. The homepage tells you what's coming up on the next week's show. And you can also email me by clicking on the Contact Martha link or address your own email program to Martha Light, L-I-G-H-T, at AOL.com. Now, if you are sending something for current events, please do so via email because it's easier for me to get to my web mistress that way. If you need to post something through the U.S. Postal Service to Animal World, the Animal World mailing address is 19916 Old Owen Road, 19916 Old Owen Road. That's Monroe, Washington, 98272. Now, if you need my help as an animal behavior therapist and trainer, that's what I do to earn a living, what I do when I'm not on the air here. I work over the phone with you or privately with you in your home with your animal friends, and that's, of course, what I prefer. But I do it both ways. And I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so it's always worth giving me a call for you or anyone you know that has problems with their animal friends. Because if I'm not the best one to help you, I guarantee I probably know who is. And you can reach me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling. The phone number is 360 217-7258. Now, you can send me an email, but the best way to get a hold of me is to call me and then bug my voicemail if you don't hear back from me. And I mean it, bug my voicemail. 360-217-7258. Alrighty then, I think that covers all the contact information bases. So, without further ado, slim pickings this week, but I did find something. Let's do the best good news about animals. Oh, it just reminded me, Mike. Love that music. Sometimes it works and brings the sun out. However,
it's working, the sun's out.
Well, yes, but we have a request from our listeners. Because most shows, we do the best good news about animals happens like in the first half hour of the show.
Right.
And some of our listeners are still in bed. They have the radio on, but they're still in bed. And they've requested that you pot that down and bring it up slowly. Because they don't want to be blasted out of their bed.
Okay, I had it down a notch or two, and then brought it up, and then potted it down. But duly noted.
For whatever reason, I just got that hit. You know, now, of course, you know, it's later in the morning. It's probably okay. But, oh, and there's Seth's ran again.
Yeah, I'm going to go get it here in just a second. Hang on.
Okay, so let's go with the good news I could come up with. All right. How salmon seem to be in the news this week, and the best good news I could come up with is that pesticide rules to aid salmon are upheld. And this is out of Oregon. A federal judge has upheld restrictions on agricultural pesticides designed to protect endangered salmon and steelhead in the West. A U.S. District Court judge denied claims by pesticide manufacturers, of course, that NOAA Fisheries Service's biologists had failed to consider all the available information. The agency has called for warning labels on pesticides to keep them out of salmon streams, where even minute amounts can be harmful. The pesticides are organophosphates, chlorpyrifos, diazinon, and malathion. Now, isn't it just like chemical companies to squawk about this stuff? We know that stuff is really dangerous. It does not belong in our streams, and anything to help keep it out is a good thing. So just find another way to earn a living, please.
How are they going to manage that, Moffat? Does the article say?
Well, yeah, it's not. It's that the restrictions would require no spray zones of 500 feet when spraying from the ground and 1,000 feet when spraying from the air. So they're basically going to allow people to continue to use the chemicals. You just can't do it real close to salmon streams. So I figured that's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, I agree.
But once again, I think never, you know, chemical companies find another way to make a living. Huh. By the way, I moved all my monies out of the big bank. Hope you did too.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I went to, you know, and I've been paying service charges on my accounts for, I don't know, for 25 years. I didn't realize I could get it all for free at a local bank.
That's interesting.
I just opened all new accounts at Coastal Community Bank in Monroe. And all of my accounts, even my business accounts, are free, free, free.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I learned a lesson. Support your local community bank. And quit paying all these ridiculous fees.
Or credit union.
Yeah, yeah.
Another good alternative.
Yeah, credit unions are great. But Coastal Community Bank. Monroe. Free, yep. Free.
Rural banks that actually help their customers.
Exactly.
What a concept.
Yeah, hello. Okay, now, the other good news about animals is actually, the whole idea is not so good news. This is the one involving the Strait of Juan de Fuca, Robin. Mm-hmm. The good news is the editorial that the Times ran this week supporting my position. But it's going to come back as I saved this for us anyway, Robin, because it involves the Strait of Juan de Fuca. Now, the reason it's in the news and why I had saved it is I don't know if you heard down where you are, but there's an infectious virus that attacks wild salmon. and it comes from fish farms is where it really gets a hold, and then it gets it can get into the wild salmon. Well, it's recently been found in Pacific wild salmon in British Columbia, which is not a good thing that it's in our wild fish. On the heels of discovering this infectious virus in our wild salmon in British Columbia, and this made the front page of the Seattle Times, plan for huge fish farm in Strait roils the waters. Here in the Northwest, where wild salmon is king, it's easy to forget that fish farmers rear millions of Atlantic salmon in net pens around Puget Sound. But a new fish farm hasn't been added to Washington's marine waters in several decades. But get this, Robin. Now an Oregon company, Pacific Seafood, wants to grow 10 million pounds a year of steelhead and Atlantic salmon in cages in the Strait of Juan de Fuca.
I can't believe the locals are going to let that happen.
That would nearly double the farmed fish grown in saltwater in Washington. The proposal comes on long simmering battles over the future of marine aquaculture heat up across the continent. And my vote, of course, is that we have no business farming these fish anyway. We're only creating problems. We need to stop it. And it's not going to matter after a while anyway, because pretty much all the wild fish are not going to be edible anyway, because we're trashing the oceans. We'll find out what you're getting about this, Robin, in a minute. The reason I put this in good news is what I actually put in good news is the editorial that ran in the Seattle Times. And Puget Sound does not need another giant fish farm to produce Atlantic salmon as the region nurtures the return of wild salmon and worries about a Nascant salmon virus. Seattle Times reporter Craig Welch laid out plans by an Oregon company, Pacific Seafood, to more than double the amount of farmed fish grown in local waters. And let's see, the news comes as two Canadian researchers found two wild sockeye smolts were carrying a highly contagious virus, one related to a catastrophic outbreak in Chile among farmed fish. The timing could not be any more disturbing. Billions have been spent in the Northwest to preserve and restore wild salmon runs, with the latest outlay of money and optimism invested in the removal of dams on the Elwha and White Salmon rivers. Washington Senator Maria Cantwell, along with Alaska's two senators, have asked Congress to require federal agencies to investigate the hazards from the latest revelations of a virus risk and report back in 6 months. Though the threat to North Pacific jobs and local economies makes the research a priority. Efforts to convert marine aquaculture into a giant export business should not be done at the risk of harming, devastating the restoration of healthy wild fisheries. Industrial fish farms have a legacy of trouble around the world. Diseases, pollution, escaping non-native farmed fish in the wild population, antibiotics, and the consumption of wild stocks to feed farmed fish. So, based on hard lessons, these concerns are indeed global. Recent commentary in the Scottish Daily Mail describes farmed fish as second only to Scottish whiskey as an import earner, but a government proposal under review would ban fish farms from areas that are important to wild fish stocks. And basically, Seattle Times is saying we need to do the same thing and we need to stand up and not allow these new fish farms in the Strait of Juan de Fuca. So, Robin, I know that you dearly love the Strait of Juan de Fuca and you lived right above it for a number of years. How does this all feel to you?
Well, I feel like the local people will take action and protect the salmon there. There is such a passion for caring for them that I just can't believe that anything is going to come in any way harm what they've already put into motion. I have faith in this situation that they will protect those wild salmon, and that whatever they have to do, they'll do it.
Yeah, yeah. And excuse
me. That doesn't mean those farms won't be someplace else, but I don't see them going there.
That's a good thing. I'm a little distracted because we've got a caller on the line, and I had to write a note to Mike to tell her what's going on.
Well, and I feel that this is, you know, it's always the bigger picture.
Yeah.
And there's so many ways that people don't think from a visionary perspective. They just think about, you know, their lifetime and how much money they can make, and they don't understand repercussions of choices. And this is a place where we've gotten so close to the cusp of losing the health and welfare of the ocean waters and the fish that are in it. It's just another incident of really putting it in our face. You know, what is our priority?
Yeah. Yeah. And there just have been so much controversy, and there's so many problems with these fish farms.
Yeah.
I don't think we can possibly take the risk.
Well, the thing that's coming to my mind is lobbyists. You know, I wonder how much money is being put into lobbyists and paying people off and that sort of thing. Hopefully it's not going to be to the point where the people who really care can't have their voices heard and actions taken from that deep, deep passion within them to protect the salmon, the wild salmon.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, speaking of what I, you know, when I was spouting off that, because the masters have been telling me for 20 years now that eventually, you know, the fish in our oceans are going to be unedible because of the pollution and the chemicals. Have we shifted anything with that? Are we doing any better job of taking care of the oceans or cleaning them up? Are we going to continue to be able to eat fish for generations to come? Or do you feel that that what the masters told me years ago is still coming to fruition?
Well, I think that this issue that you brought up around the farmed salmon and the wild salmon, it's one of these kind of alchemical moments where we really need to understand the bigger picture. And if in these types of incidences we don't get it, we will have an issue where we won't even be able to have life of any form from the oceans anymore. So I'm cautiously optimistic, but I'm still aware that the future hasn't been predicted yet. There's a lot of different ways in this situation and in all the others where we as individuals and as a collective will choose our destiny.
Yeah, I mean, because we really don't pay a lot of attention, but I think there's so much mercury, like in tuna, that you're not supposed to eat more than one serving of tuna a week. And I think if you're pregnant, you're not supposed to eat it at all.
No.
I mean, that's pretty serious.
Well, and I don't know if people realize, too, that a lot of the times when the umbilical cord is checked between the baby and the womb and the mother, they're finding that that is toxic.
Oh, jeez.
Yes. I mean, that's, like, supposed to be the most sacred place where, the you know, everything is purified before it goes to the baby.
I think we'd be literally shocked if we really the truth were told about the kind of chemicals that we carry in our bodies that we're exposed to. Some of that truth is starting to come out now, and I remember reading some things about that, but that's pretty scary in terms of the pesticides and all of that stuff that we end up. Oh, no, well, I wonder.
Well, I'll chime in, too. It's also, we don't think about the water we drink. And, of course, water is so important. And the really good, pure water sources are becoming fewer and fewer between. They are out there, but most municipal water systems are contaminated with man-made carcinogens. The truth.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I actually really like living here in Mount Shasta. The water here is so vibrant. I mean, even after I wash our clothes, I can feel the difference in the frequencies of the water from here.
Doo-doo-doo-doo that you should mention washing clothes, because that's another story that I saved. Now, get this. Nearly 2,000 polyester fibers can float away unseen from a single fleece sweater in one wash cycle. Synthetic lint likely makes its way through sewage treatment systems and into oceans around the world. Now, the scientists that are working on this right now, I said last week I'm only polluting my own personal ground because I have a septic tank, but it makes you, you know, it makes you think about these, you know, fleece material. They tested sand from 18 beaches around the world, and in 80, and they found these polyester fibers in every single sample. And 80% of the fibers they found were of polyester or acrylic. And they found as little as 2 fibers up to as many as 31. That's to every cup of sand. So it's like, you know, these fibers are already on every beach, so what are they doing in the water? And then, we've got the plastic garbage things around. That's pretty scary, don't you think?
Well, it's very sobering, extremely sobering. And, you know, I think each one of us in the life we lead, we just need to look at the choices we make every day and assess, is there a better one we could be making? Because it's each individual making a change in their action that will eventually lead to, you know, just bigger, better ways everywhere. You know, Sometimes we feel powerless and helpless, but what can we do in our own world? That's what we need to ask ourselves.
Okay, speaking of that, you're doing a great job of taking us from one story to another, Robin. I brought this back again, excuse me, because this press release was sent out again this week. And I covered it last week as well. And but I think it's worth reading again and also having you tune in to see if we here locally in Seattle are going to make any changes and any better choices. And it's the Toronto City Council overrules the zoo and the zoo board and orders elephants to sanctuary. Taking strong leadership, Toronto's Canada's City Council voted 31-4 to allow their elephants at Toronto Zoo to live out their lives at Paws Sanctuary in California. The Toronto City Council overruled the zoo's interests and used science and compassion in making their decision to choose a life that is healthiest for their animals. Now, this is a press release that is put out by Friends of Woodland Park Zoo Elephants. It goes on to read, like Toronto's elephants, Seattle's 3 elephants, Bamboo, Chai, and Watoto, spend over half the year locked in a barren barn stall, barely large enough to turn around in. Our elephants' lockup lasts 16 to 17 hours a day, with either Bamboo or Watoto in solitary confinement. That's because the two don't get along. Like Toronto's elephants, our elephants have less than 1 acre of outdoor space. Like Toronto's elephants, our elephants exhibit repetitive neurotic behaviors called stereotypies due to the trauma of captivity and crushing boredom. Like Toronto's elephants, our elephants are very costly to house, about $400,000 each year. When the Toronto Zoo looked into expanding the elephant habitat, they discovered the costs were prohibitive. The LA Zoo, for example, spent $42.5 million in 2009 on a 3.6-acre display that was inadequate the day it opened. Like the elephants at Toronto Zoo, Bamboo, Chai, and Watoto suffer from captivity-induced ailments, some of which could cause premature death. Friends of Woodland Park Zoo Elephants is calling for the immediate release of our elephants to Paws or the Elephant Sanctuary in Tennessee.
Woohoo!
And I will, of course, they've been doing this for years, and I will add to that the Elephant Sanctuary in Tennessee has an open offer to Woodland Park Zoo to pay entirely for the transfer of our three elephants to their sanctuary in Tennessee. They will pay all the expenses. So it's not going to cost us anything. So I just get so sad, Robin, when I think about this and I tune into this, because I have personally met these elephants and I have personally talked with them. And Bamboo years ago told me she wanted to stay here because of her relationship with her almost lifelong handler that she'd been with at the zoo. But he's now retired and he never comes to see her. The last time I talked with her, she said she was ready to move. And they said they wanted to go to the sanctuary. Now I'm wondering what you're getting.
I have no doubt that they are well overdue and really getting worn out. They must go.
They really must.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. I'm just stunned.
I'm wondering, because see, the zoo, the powers that be, and I know, you know, they're not bad people. They think they're really doing a good, you know, I'm trying to believe they think they're doing a good thing. And they, of course, are still trying to artificially inseminate Chai, who, of course, Hansa, her calf died of herpes. And our elephants, carry the herpes. And if she gets pregnant again, it's very likely that her baby will have herpes again and will die prematurely. But the zoo continues to artificially inseminate her over and over and over again. They've done it again. I haven't heard whether or not she's pregnant. I pray that she isn't. They think and they say they are doing good work to help the elephants by doing this breeding program. I don't believe they are. I wonder, and I think it's imperative that they release these elephants to captivity. There is not only do they is the habitat here at Woodland Park, no matter how much they try, it is woefully inadequate. And this press release is absolutely true. It is unfathomable to me that we can lock these elephants up 16 to 17 hours a day throughout all the pretty much the fall and winter months. Solitary confinement for one of them every night. And they have less than an acre of habitat that they don't have access to all the time. And it is just woefully inadequate. And there is no way for Woodland Park to expand. There's no way to make it adequate. But baby elephants bring lots of people to the zoo.
Well, we can respectfully agree to disagree with them. And perhaps as more and more media attention comes out with articles like the Toronto City Council getting involved, maybe that will begin to make a difference.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. If you can tune into the energy, do you think, now this story, of course, has to have come to Woodland Park Zoo attention. Do you think is it getting through at all? Is anybody there involved in the decision-making process? Is anyone starting to reconsider sending these elephants to the sanctuary?
What I'm sensing is absolutely not.
Yeah, I'm afraid that's what I get too. And I'm sorry, I don't get it. I just don't get it. I just don't get it. I just don't get it. Yeah, you're right, Mike.
It's a good time.
Yeah, it's a
good
time.
On that note.
On that note, let's go to a nicer subject, and that would be, of course, the wonderful businesses and products that keep us on the air. How about that? So let's take care of them. Please pay attention. Without them, there's no us. So support our sponsors. And we will continue more of Animal World with Robin Alexis straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Since 1978, Puget Sound area animal owners have been able to depend on Jones & Company Pets for all of their animal care needs. At Jones & Company, their spacious store allows room for everything you need for your animal companions. You can find foods, accessories, fish supplies, supplements, cleaning products, and a whole lot more. The store within a store concept makes it easy to find the right products for your dog, cat, fish, bird, or exotic animal friend. And Jones & Company rigorously trains their staff so they can easily answer all of your questions. Now visit Jones & Company. You'll find them on State Avenue in Marysville, or you can give them a call at 360-658-7817. Links to their website on MarthaNorwalk.com. At Jones & Company Pets, their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy and healthy pets.
Manson Mitchell, Saturday mornings at 10. Good gab, great guest. It's all about the art of dynamic living, shared by celebrated people from all walks of life, many with a claim to fame. Then at 11, The Gary Mance Show. 2 hours of mastery and mystery from transformational teachers that show you how to get to where you want to go in life, to lively discussions of the world's most perplexing paranormal phenomena. That's Manson Mitchell, Saturday mornings at 10, followed by The Gary Mance Show at 11 Pacific on Alternative Talk, 11:50.
This new year, give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, a strong immune system, and a healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Go to NuProSupplements.com for more information. That's NuProSupplements.com.
Massage is good for everyone, including your pets.
Learn animal massage close to home at the Northwest School of Animal Massage. The Northwest School of Animal Massage offers a full schedule of classes, including massage for canines, small and large animal certification, and equine ligament therapy.
For more information, go to NWSAM.com or call 877-836-3703. Locally, call 425-222-3703. That's 425-222-3703.
Join their Facebook page for exciting announcements and the latest class updates. The All Breed Equine Rescue, a nonprofit organization located in Marysville, needs your help. They're looking for a barn manager and volunteers to help care for their rescued horses. Other items on their wish list include wood and money donations via snail mail. Please call the All Breed Equine Res Q to find out how you can help. 425-263-6390. That's 425-263-6390. And to help make a difference in the life of a rescued horse, please mail your tax-deductible donation to All Breed Equine Res Q, located at 2415 116th Street, Northeast Marysville, Washington, 982.
Are you worthy of being happy? Oprah Winfrey says worthiness is your birthright. You are worthy of being happy. Robin Alexis would be privileged to assist you to embrace your worthiness and help you get and maintain a happy life again. You are invited to post in Robin's private online soul spa forums and share with others what inhibits you from feeling worthy to live a happy life. Soul Spa members, people like you, have signed confidentiality agreements to keep all the communication that happens in the Soul Spa. Let Robin Alexis and Soul Spa members help you move from breakdowns to the miracle of breakthroughs. As you participate in the Robin Alexis online Soul Spa, you will liberate yourself and feel worthy of living a happy life again. Visit RobinAlexis.com for more details on the special offer of a reading with Robin and a 1 year's membership to the Soul Spa, or call 360-457-2993. Embrace your happiness now.
Going against the grain has never been so much fun. Alternative Talk, 11:50 a.m.
To Norwalk, and sorry to say, we're winding down this week's edition of Animal World. We don't call it the fastest 3 hours in radio for nothing, and but we're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Seems to me there was something I was going to address right away before we got back to Robin and animals in the news, and that was I forgot to remind you that I write a regular column for the New Spirit Journal, and which is available free at many outlets around Western Washington. You can arrange for a subscription to be sent to your home, or you can read it online, www.newspiritjournal.com. And I started this month in November, cleaned up all the other subjects I've been talking about. Robin, I got to tell you, let me remind me to talk about deer whistles, because I talked about that in my last column of New Spirit Journal. And then I'm starting a new topic this month in the November issue, and I really start to get to it December. And it's going to continue for a number of months. And what I'm writing about, something I've never written about before, but I've gotten requests, and that is kids and pets. And specifically, when humans have animal kids and they're going to start having human babies or going to adopt kids, or if you've got animal dog especially, and they're biting your kids and all that kind of stuff. So my hope is, in this series of articles, is to cover all the bases related to pets and kids. And I'm starting off with, if you're pregnant and already have animal kids, how to make it how to get your animals to bond with your kid ahead of time, and how to have a smooth transition, and how to prepare, and then what to do afterwards, and how to do all that great stuff so the kids and the animals aren't beating each other up. So, I hope you will check it out, www.newspiritjournal.com, and you can access past issues there and past columns and all that good stuff, but I hope you'll read that sort of thing. So, Robin.
Yes.
You know, I was reminded again about deer whistles because of you and Bob. And you had an experience where you and Bob were driving. You were still up here. You hadn't moved to Mount Shasta yet. And you had a deer run into your car on the highway.
It was quite an experience, yes, for the deer and for us.
Yeah. And right after that, I think it was the Soul Spa members or something, posted about deer whistles, which are these little plastic whistles. You can get them at almost any auto supply store. They cost about $6 for two of them, and they attach real easily to your front bumpers, and they're supposed to make a little whistle that tells wildlife you're driving down the road and makes them stay away from your car. Now, I don't know, in a situation like Bob and Robin were in, if deer whistles would have solved the problem. You know, with a deer that somehow gets onto the highway and is already running across. But certainly on roads, you know, country roads, or if you're in the outside lane of a highway or something and the animal is approaching the road, I feel very fortunate, Robin, in that with what I do, I tend to attract situations that give me the answers to the questions I have about animals so that I can share them here with everybody. And when I put, you know, the deer whistles, I had thought about them for years of getting them, but I never did. And then I moved back to the city, but now I'm back in the country again. And there's all kinds of, I just saw four deers just march down the road in front of my house yesterday afternoon. They were just cruising down, but deer and coyote and raccoon and porcupine and possum and you name it, they're out there. All kinds of little critters. So I actually got some deer whistles and put them on my car after your accident. So then I asked, I wonder if they're working. Well, I've had two experiences now. One, I was driving down the country road headed home, and it was daylight, and I looked ahead of me, and I saw the grass moving really fast in a line in a pasture ahead of me heading towards the road. And as I got, so I was driving closer, I could see that it was a little field rabbit running in the road, running in the pasture towards the road. And then as my car approached, when I got, I don't know, maybe 20 feet, 20, 30 feet, the rabbit stopped dead in its tracks, turned around, and then ran like 60 the opposite direction of the way it had come. And I know it was because it heard my deer whistles. And it was like, cool, that works. Now, the other day, I was driving down another country road, and I saw one of those little Douglas squirrels heading like 60 towards the road. But as I started to get close, it stopped, turned around, ran away.
And you were blowing your whistle every time?
No.
I'm missing something here.
All right, these are plastic deer whistles. You get them at an Autopot store.
Oh, then they attach.
And you stick them on your bumper.
Gotcha.
And then when the air moves through them, they're supposed to make a whistle, but it's not loud enough that you hear it in your car. So, and I haven't rolled the windows down. It's too darn cold to roll the windows down and then go driving to see if I hear the whistles, but I've never heard them. But I've had two experiences now, a rabbit and a squirrel, that have told me that they work. So how do you like that?
I'm impressed.
Yeah. Well, here's another little synchronicity for you. When I posted the blog that I was going to be on your show today,
yeah.
I posted a YouTube video of a mother robin feeding five little babies, and the background music is Whistle While You Work.
It's
really cute.
Oh,
I know
cute.
You can't use your computer to see the YouTube videos, but it's
yeah,
just so
cute. Yeah, until I get a new computer, I can't watch YouTubes, which I'm missing out on a lot of good stuff. That's a good reason for me to get a new computer. I'm going to do my best to make that happen before Mercury goes into retrograde. Otherwise, I'll have to wait till after this retrograde.
And we did get deer whistles for our vehicles after we hit the deer.
Yeah, you did.
FYI.
Have you had any experience to see them working?
No, we haven't. But there doesn't seem to be deer around this community. There's more talk of mountain lions than anything else. So
well, I'm
deer
really thinking it would. Well, it worked with the rabbit, worked with the squirrel. I'm sure it would work with deer too. And coyote and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, when I asked for confirmation, that's what I got. So let's go back here to, like, the grizzlies in Yellowstone that are beating up on all the humans. I'm wondering if is there something going on with grizzly, bear, and humans in general?
Well, we have heard quite a bit about bear attacks. What I had tuned into was the specific story that you had spoken of previously in the show. And in that one, I actually got it was karmic between that individual
and
the bear.
Oh, that elk. Timothy Hicks, 32 of Jackson was his name. But he wasn't killed, fortunately.
No, thankfully, yeah.
So that was a karmic thing between him and the bear.
Yeah, so I felt that one was different than the consciousness that we've been seeing going on with the bears. And generally, you know, to me it's like this 100th monkey theory. We are beginning to find in any area where the bears are that they're starting to attack more humans as humans are entering into their particular locality. And what I'm sensing from the bears today is that, you know, we were just speaking about deer whistles, which is sound, and my sense is that the bear are starting to hear sound patterns that are kind of driving them nuts. And what they're actually telling me now is that it's the cell phones, that if the people who are out there have the cell phones and they're on, they're like hearing all these different sound patterns that they weren't hearing before, and they're more likely to attack because of that. And
well, now, wait. Whoa. Are you saying that when a person is carrying a cell phone on their body, that the bear are hearing a sound coming from the cell phone on the body?
If the cell phone is on, yes, I am hearing that from them.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's something really huge.
Yeah.
Because pretty much these days, anybody goes out. Well, yeah, that's why I said, whoa. Because this is something we could actually do something about.
Yes.
Now, what about, so let's tune into the energy with this one. Because that pretty much anybody that goes out into the wilderness these days takes a cell phone with them. Okay? And Mike is going, yeah.
Yep.
Well, so now you said if the cell phone is on. Now, that means if it's, is it just turned on or if it's in use?
If it's turned on at all, even if they're not actually making a call, what I'm hearing is that the bears are hearing sound patterns that can be just...
Okay, now what if, like, you know, here in the studio, we got the big sign, turn off your cell phone. And so when I turned off my cell phone. Now what if I have my cell phone with me, but it's turned off? Will that eliminate the sound?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so we learned something. Now, you know, everybody says, well, I want to have my cell phone on so I can, if somebody needs to get a hold of me. Well, crap, if you're out in the wilderness having a walk, you don't need to talk on the cell phone anyway, unless you need to call, you know, for help or something.
But my understanding is that even if a cell phone is off, if you press 911, that actually does go through. I don't know if that's true or not, but I know I've heard that.
You got your cell phone? Hold on.
Yeah.
I don't want to... press
911
if there's not a real emergency.
I'll turn it off really fast.
Okay.
Mine's on off.
Okay, Martha's going to do it. That way, Robin,
I don't have to do it. You know, I have just a generic cell phone. I don't have like an iPhone or anything fancy.
So when the cops come, I've been sworn to, tell the truth.
I'm hearing, I actually, please don't do that. I just Googled it. Can you still call 911 from a cell phone if your service is shut off? And the answer is yes. That's what I'm reading here. Even cell phones, as long as they are charged, can dial 911 even if they're off.
Very interesting. I did not know that.
And it even says here you can get a use for a used cell phone. So that is
well,
pretty interesting.
Well, no, because if I hit 911 with my phone turned off, it stays off. Wouldn't it have to turn on to make a phone call?
That's not what I'm reading
but
here.
But they can build
still
in that technology
you.
To do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
my
all
guess
I know
is that
if I dial 911, my cell phone stays off.
So you did it.
Yeah.
I did it.
Interesting.
Now I turned it off real quick, just in case.
Yeah, that would be very most unfortunate if the police showed up there, because they can track where it's used.
Huh.
So what we're
picking up is that if you have a cell phone on you out in the wilderness and you turn it off, it will not make the sound that's irritating the bear.
That's what I'm hearing, yes.
So, folks, if you're going hiking, and you can always turn it on if you need to. And let's face it, if you're not injured enough to be able to dial 911, you ought to be able to hit the button to turn your phone back on, don't you think?
We would hope.
Yeah. Well, that's good advice, though. So I wonder, would this sound also bother cougar and black bear? Does it seem like a sound that's bothering all wildlife that we encounter, or just the bears?
Well, what I'm hearing from the bear community right now is just the bears. They're not, and I'm not, no other group is stepping in as I'm speaking about this. But it kind of, you know, now that I'm thinking about it,
it makes sense. It does. It does make sense. Well, let's see. Did Carlene tell you what kind of a comment about bears she has? Because I don't know that we're going to have time to get to her call, because we still got to get to the sharks. Carlene, I'm sorry, because we're almost running out of time. And she can be a talker just like me, you know. Anyway, I do want to kind of tune in on the sharks. Because that bear, the cell phone stuff, that's a really handy thing to know. I'm glad we tuned into that. Now, how about the shark business? Because we have more shark attacks going on off the coast of California, and we have all these shark attacks going on off the coast of Australia, which is apparently very unusual. Are you getting anything specifically from our shark friends, Robin?
Well, I was tuning into that earlier when you had brought it up, and what I heard was, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I heard for you to talk about your shark totem or experiences, and then the other thing I heard was wake-up call, is it? So this one feels more esoteric, I guess I could say, than some of the other things we've spoken about.
I was just wondering when you said I was supposed to talk about my shark stuff, I guess what I'm remembering is that I have a whale shark that has come to me in meditation.
Yes, that is what I was hearing for you to share. It feels like it's really important to some of your listeners.
Well, I don't know. It's very cool. You know, the whale sharks, Mike, are those great big. They're the, you know, like the really, really huge ones.
The big boys.
And they're black with polka dot, like white polka dots all over them. But they don't eat people. they're the ones that, like, you know, open their mouths and swim and do the little stuff. But they're huge, huge, huge fish. I had this whale shark come to me as a totem and a protector when I started my yoga training.
There it is.
And it's very interesting because it happened in like the first or second meditation I did at the temple. Because it was in my Raja yoga training, and when we went into meditation, Freeman, our Nyaswami, you know, that Reman and Padma that run the Ananda community up here, and Reman was teaching the Raja yoga class, and he took us into a guided meditation, and in this meditation, we were to dive into the ocean. You know, and when I did that, it was really interesting. I dived, and I was going down and down in the darkness, and all of a sudden, this whale shark came up underneath me, and I laid on top, and it brought me back up to the surface. And every time I would dive into the dark ocean, the whale shark would bring me back up. And it was a very cool relationship that I developed with this whale shark, and I basically got that it was there and would be with me. So if I got, you know, into too much darkness down in the deep, up it would come. So, if that means something to someone, I'm glad to share it. But well, I love the whales and the sharks, and I'm very disillusioned in our human behavior once again, in the way we are treating them, and I think we need to stop.
Well, and I'm hearing in that particular situation, it feels like the shark attacks could incredibly increase. So,
if we don't get the message.
Yes, that one feels very volatile to me. There's a rage being expressed here.
Okay, and unfortunately, we are totally out of time. So, Robin, I have to thank you so much for spending time with me. We'll have to pick up here. Let's pick up with the sharks next time on our next Robin and Martha Sunday, which I think will be probably the second week of December. And, of course, you can tune in for Robin Alexis, Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis, live this coming Wednesday at noon. You'll hear a rebroadcast at 2 p.m. this afternoon. Next week, boy, I won't be here. I need you guys to be here because Kevin McDonald and Kim Miller Medium Animal Intuitive will be here. Kevin will kind of host. Kim will take your calls. And the next week, I'm going to ask you to call me and let me know how they do without me. So I want to know how they do. So I need you here to pay attention. Also to call Kim. Stay tuned for Psychic Speaks. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Robin. Think good thoughts for me at my Kriya initiation. I'll see you in 2 weeks. And as always, let me remind you, animals have feelings too, so treat your animal friends better than family. Please always be kind to open your heart and share your love with all living things. We'll be live next week, but I'll talk to you again in 2.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.